Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 61 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, former pitcher for the Atlanta Braves and the Chicago Cubs, Dan Winkler. How we doing today?
I'm good, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. We've been planning this for a little bit. Finally got it ready to go for episode 61. So we're getting the episodes up there.
Did a little research, have some pretty big names on this podcast,
You could
so
say so. I've been trying.
privilege to be on it, and excited to talk a little bit of whatever we got on in store.
Absolutely. All right, so we're just gonna lead off with your first big start in baseball, JUCO. You're playing at Parkland, but you made the majors. Not many guys from JUCO end up making the majors. My first question is gonna be, at what point in college did it first feel realistic when like the pro teams were taking you seriously?
So I'll back up to high school. My senior year, there was an Oriole scout that kind of saw me. We became friends, and he helped me out a lot. And then I got recruited to go to Parkland, and then had a really honestly brutal freshman year. And then so I was, kind of rode the wave that year. And then my sophomore year, I was getting recruited by some colleges, some pretty good D1s. And then also scouts. So really my sophomore year, I was drafted that year, 43rd round. I was like 1,000 and I don't even know. But it was late. But at that point I was like, yeah, maybe I can actually get paid to do this.
Yeah, it's funny because my roommate knows nothing about baseball. And I had to explain to him, yeah, at one point in 1990, there were 101 rounds. He's like, what? He was so confused.
Draft and follow is a big thing then too.
And then you ended up going the 20th round, your second time through the draft.
I did, pick 618. I do remember that one.
There we go. What's something about pitching at a small school like Parkland that you think actually helped prepare you for pro ball?
I'm from a small town. I went to a small high school. There were 60 kids in my graduating class.
Oof.
So it was kind of like I just climbed the ladder, right? Like junior college was a good like step for me. We had four big leaguers from my junior college, Kevin Kiermaier being one of
Oh,
them.
wow.
So he was, me and him were the same age, and it was a lot of really good talent in junior college, so it was really good for me. And that's why, when I got drafted by the Cubs, actually my sophomore year, I wasn't ready to go. I needed to go play D1 ball. I went to UCF and played Florida, pitched against USF, like Rice, like a lot of guys that ended up being longtime big leaguers, and realized that I could do it and I could compete. And it's kind of like it wasn't too overwhelming, but it was also challenging in the sense that, hey, I had to get better. And so that was the best thing for me, was going to junior college and then UCF and then get drafted and kind of do all that and take it step by step.
Then you went to the Braves in the 20th round of that second draft rotation. Your Braves career overlapped a lot with the young core they have now, back when they were first getting into there with Acuna and Albies really starting to jump in. What do you remember about that group, and how do you feel about where they're at now?
Yeah, when I came over to the Braves in 15, Ozzie and Ronnie were like, they had just been drafted or signed, I guess. They were in
Yeah.
the GCL. And I remember watching Ronnie take BP, and you play long enough, like sounds and like feel and everything, it just sounds different coming off of his bat. And you knew like right then, watching him even in Florida Gulf League, like rookie ball, that kid was going to be special. And they had Soroka, they had AJ Minter, they had a lot of guys that were stars, Austin Riley being another one of them,
Yeah.
that were in like rookie ball that year. And so it was pretty cool to be around that core, like you said, see those kids kind of work their way up, kind of take those step by steps, and then now be all stars and those kind of things. So it was a good group to be around. And you heard so much about that old timer Braves with Glavine, Smoltz, those
Yeah,
guys, and
absolutely.
they were curated and came up, and I was kind of in the midst of it. So it was pretty cool team to be a part of, and especially when they went on to win the World Series. So well, I had to watch a lot of my friends win the World Series. That was easier said than done.
I also gotta say, I was the biggest fan of Soroka growing up. Like, I loved Soroka so much.
Nasty. He still is nasty.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, growing up in middle school and turning on quick pitch to watch him shut down the Mets. It was like, wow, this is great. So in that Braves bullpen, who do you think influenced you the most? There was like a lot of big names throughout your time in Atlanta. Who would you say was the biggest influence on you?
Probably not a popular opinion, but or popular guy you've probably heard of, but two guys come to mind, Jim Johnson and then Peter Moreland. Jim had a really good career, was a closer for a while when I first got called up, and I asked him so many questions. He probably was like, this kid is just so annoying. But I was like, I was coming from being a starter and coming off an injury and trying to figure out the bullpen. And so I asked Jim like everything. How does he prepare? What does he do daily? Like, how do you do this every single day? And then Peter was just a good dude to be around. Like, I remember 2015 when I was making my debut, I was about to run out, and Pete stops me. He grabs me. He goes, "Dude, you only get one of these. Make sure you enjoy it." And I was like, "Oh man!" And so as I was running out, like I looked around, I was like, I remember almost everything from that. And Pete was just good to a good mentor to a lot of the young guys, and it was just a good group to be around at that time.
Was it like a fun, like good chemistry bullpen like during the games?
Oh yeah, I mean, bullpen guys are tend to be of similar personality. So they're typically always every bullpen I was a part of was amazing, honestly. That 2018 group, we were a bunch of misfits like Luke Jackson, Jesse Biddle, like Minter was in that. We were a bunch of misfits, but it was fun to be around, and you become like a cohesive group. Like you fight for each other. You're almost like a group within a group. It's really, really cool to be in a bullpen atmosphere like that.
It's always funny to watch those clips on the internet when you see like the bullpens compete to do the stupidest stuff, like the bowling. I forget who it was. It may have been Chicago and someone else. They were like pretending to be bowling pins and one of them would roll the ball and they would all fall over. It's like always fun to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when I was with the Cubs, they used to do all that kind of stuff. The led by our fearless leader, Chad Noble, was our bullpen catcher, and he always had to do all that kind of stuff. But man, you're down there for 162 games, and like, if you're gonna be serious the whole time, you're gonna mentally just wear down. So
Yeah,
you gotta
absolutely.
find things to pass the time. We would do trivia a lot. I'd bring trivia down, be like trivia master, and ask questions and stuff, just to kind of get your mind off the game, but also still be able to pay attention.
Yeah, we got a little bit of trivia at the end of this show, but we'll get to there when we get
Nice.
to there. It's
Love
going to be the
that.
final
Love a
little
good
bit.
trivia.
But you mentioned the injuries that you went through earlier, and you've had some, I'll be honest, brutal ones. How have you been able to like bounce back and what kept you going during all those, rehabs?
Modern medicine, really good surgeons. Those are two things that I owe my career to. Dr. James Andrews was a lifesaver. The dude is a legend for a reason. But it wasn't easy. I'll say the Tommy John rehabs, like up and down. I was pitching well when I blew out. I thought I was going to make my debut then, and then to break my elbow after I made my first, opening day roster a week before, it was just devastating. I always tell people when they ask about that injury, it's like you can see like pain in my face. I don't remember much pain. There probably was a lot. I had been having pain for a little bit. So it was almost relief in a way, but it was also pain. Like I knew, like, I don't know if I'm coming back from this. I just had surgery. I was like a year and a half removed of an elbow surgery. And I finally am pitching well. I'm in the big leagues. I'm where I've always dreamed of being. And now I break my elbow. So a lot in that video is like just agony in that sense. I was rehabbing on a major league roster, so it could get worse. It was you just do the job, you show up every day, and try to get better.
What's the thing that you don't think fans see in that process of having to come back to the majors after that? What's something the fans like you don't think they would know?
Crying. I'm completely honest with you. Like, there were a lot of really hard days. Like really hard days where it's just like, am I ever gonna come back? Like you feel like after I broke my elbow, it wasn't healing. I had a I don't know what they would say. There was a gap, and it wasn't it wasn't filling. It was like 80% healed, and it had been that way for a couple months. And I remember I got on this osteoporosis drug to try to help it speed up the recovery. I remember getting an MRI or an X-ray, and looking at the X-ray and being like, "It's still not healed. Like I just broke down. Like I'm like, this is brutal. My career is going to end on just this, something that's totally out of my control." And end up being, it was like healed to 95%, and I was just being, dramatic. But it's like, this is my livelihood. This is like what I've always dreamed of being, and to have it potentially taken away from something that I couldn't do, like have no control over, just kind of devastating to go through. So there's a lot of this, like up and downs.
Yeah.
Things are good, things are not. So that just fans don't really see. And that's the season. I mean, even when you're healthy, it's a lot of this.
Yeah.
So.
What's the aspect of your teammates like when you go through something like that? Obviously, I didn't play past high school ball, but what how do your teammates, really factor into that recovery?
A lot. I mean, like I said earlier, it's like a brotherhood. It really is. I still talk to a lot of those guys in the bullpen, a lot of guys, those guys that I was rehabbing with. They're going through the same thing. And to have those, that's what I miss most about baseball, being removed from the clubhouse is the clubhouse. My wife was amazing. She's a nurse practitioner. So, like, she was, without having that, would have been really astronomically worse. But having teammates there to like just that know what you're going through and kind of help you through it is just, and again, it's kind of like taking your mind off of it. Like the grind of rehab is not easy, but when you come in, you like the guys that you're rehabbing with, that doesn't suck.
When you heal from those, injuries, is it easy to bounce back and get right back into the swing of things, or does it take a minute?
Tommy John, it did. Absolutely. You lose a lot of like feel. I don't know what it is. There's probably some medical doctor out there that understands that, but you just lose like the feel of it. When I was coming back from my broken elbow, it was pretty good. It was more mentally like, can I trust it? Am I actually gonna be able to do this? And also get back in that competitive. There was a shift, because I remember coming back, I was in AAA, and it was almost like I was just throwing to make sure that I was okay. And then I had to shift from, all right, now I have to get people out. It's not just like, oh, I'm healthy, good. Now I have to, get people out. And there was a time like in 2017 where that happened, where I was like, F this, I'm good. Like, let's get some people out now.
Let's keep pushing.
Yeah.
Let's get away from that injury talk. That was
No, you couldn't.
very insightful. But when let's
Yeah.
get back to the fun stuff so we don't start tearing up on
No,
the
you're good.
podcast.
No, yeah.
So when it comes to having to get people out, I mean, obviously that's a pitcher's goal. That's what they want to do. What pitch in your arsenal did you trust the most when that was on the line?
Yeah, it's my cutter. I probably
Absolutely.
trusted it too much at the end of my career, but it's definitely my cutter.
It's always a reliever's favorite. You got Mariano, you got all the classics. That's like the reliever pitch. If it's not a
Yeah.
four-seamer, it's that.
Yeah. He was my guy that I threw my cutter off of, same grip, tried to do everything. I was a lower three quarters guy, but throwing a cutter was really easy for me.
When I was growing up, I was one of the first kids on my team to throw breaking balls. Like a third grade, I was throwing breaking balls. I based mine off of Chaz Rowe, if you remember him.
Yeah, I remember him. I
Yeah.
was talking about rehab. I had to play catch with him a couple of times, and I could never catch his slider
I swear,
ever.
dirtiest slider I've probably ever
Yes,
seen. Like I
it kept going.
memorized his grip. I like zoomed in on freeze frames and like learned how to throw it. That
I
was
love
the grip, and I did well in middle school. Unfortunately, fell off in high school, but that's what it is.
that. Yeah, I mean, that's a really good slider grip if anybody's listening to get, because his slider is gross.
Just look up Chaz Rowe slider compilation, and you're never gonna want to look at anybody else's slider ever again.
Seriously, for real, for real.
Unhittable. But how about someone who was a good hitter? Who was like the toughest batter you've ever faced? Maybe not necessarily statistically, but just a guy who like saw you best.
Bryce Harper sucked to face.
Oh.
Like, he just swings so hard, it is scary. Like, being on the mound, it's just how hard he swings the bat. And he also is like really good eye. Juan Soto's another guy, like, you can miss by like a half an inch and he'll lay off it. The guy just knows the plate really, really well, and that's really hard as a reliever. Like you're coming in, you're trying to get whiffs, you're trying to get chases, and if a guy knows the plate really well, it's hard to do it. Any lefty, honestly, but yeah, those are two that come to mind.
Yeah, Soto will like lay off a pitch half an inch off the plate and then shuffle in your face, and you're like, wow, I hate this guy.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do about it, which is even worse.
He's superhuman. His eyes, I guarantee you, are not real.
Yeah, when he first came up at 18, I remember when he was with the Nationals, I was like, this kid can't be that good. He was.
He was that good.
Yeah,
Back to
yeah.
back National stars. The second Harper leaves, Soto comes in. It's like, oh God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's good.
When it comes to like looking over your whole career, you played a great chunk of time in the major leagues. What do you hope that, people remember most about your career?
That's an insightful question. Wow. I don't know. Lots of up and down that I think, I had some good years, I had some bad years, and then I had good and bad in the same year. I guess what I would want people to know about, remember about my career is that I was resilient. Like I came back. I remember breaking my elbow, and nobody had ever come back from that. I remember Jared Parker did a similar. Broke the medial condyle out here, and I think he had some other things, but he was the only other guy that I knew, and he didn't come back from it, and it was terrifying. And I was able to come back from it and throw 200 games after that. Got sent down. You go through a lot of like ups and downs in that in the career, and I feel like I learned a lot from it, and I just try to keep going.
That's a question I love going to, just because it allows, the ball players to think and be like, wow, like what would I generalize my career as? It's my favorite question to ask. I always use it as a conclusion.
That's a good question. It's also a difficult question because one that I've never gotten given thought to. That's probably one I'll ponder for months.
Like
So
your
I
whole life
appreciate
works up to
that.
that moment. How do you generalize it in like one sector?
Just pure on the field things. Every hitter I've ever faced, they're like, "Oh, you're the up cutter guy," because I threw like it didn't. It kind of went up.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll say in my career:
There we
the
go.
up cutter.
You ready for a little game to shut it down?
Let's do it.
So we mentioned that 2018 Braves team earlier. I want to see if you can name the starting lineup and the rotation from that team. Catcher.
Was it Flowers or Suzuki?
Suzuki, there you go. Flowers
Okay.
played 82, Suzuki played 105. So it was like super
Oh,
close.
dang.
And I'm
Okay.
assuming most
All
of
right.
those were switch offs at some point during the game.
Yeah.
First,
Ready?
played all 162.
Yeah.
Second base,
Ozzie?
there you go. Shortstop,
Was it Dansby? Had
it
been
was.
Dansby.
It was.
Yeah.
Who followed you to Chicago a bit later, but third base, one of my favorite, underrated players ever.
Ryan Flaherty was there for a little bit. Who was it third?
This is the guy that I when I mentioned Soroka, this was another guy on those Braves teams who I was the biggest fan of.
Dang it.
JC initials.
I don't know.
Camargo.
Oh. Yeah,
The
I
GOAT.
forgot about Camargo.
No, he was
Golly.
so good. I
He
loved
was,
Prime Camargo.
I think of him as a shortstop. That's why.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
He played he's listed as a primary third.
Yeah.
But he did play a lot of games at short too.
That's because has a cannon, absolute cannon.
Oh, he had a hose. He would just
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even gonna do outfield spots. Do you know like left center, right?
Cakes was in, right?
He was.
Ender was in center, and then left. Matt Kemp was 17. Who was in left?
One rookie of the
Oh, Ronnie, that's
year.
how do I forget that? I always
Oh my
forget which
goodness.
year he debuted.
Yeah, 2018, because I
Yeah,
collected a ton of trading cards back in the day and I remember gunning for his.
that's right. I remember Cincinnati. He debuted.
Do you
Homer
remember
Bailey hit a homer off.
the rotation? This was a crazy year for that rotation.
Yeah, Folty.
Yep.
Was he an all-star that
He was
year?
an all-star that year. Something a lot of people don't remember.
Was Newcomb,
Newcomb was the three.
Julio.
Was the two. The
Hey.
four is most known as a Detroit Tiger, but then he came
Was
over
it
to Atlanta.
McCarthy?
McCarthy's the five.
Five. Oh, it was he had the butterfly. Gosh, dang it. Sanchi.
There you go. And
Yeah,
involves
yeah.
Sanchez. That'll
Yeah.
do it. I love that team. I always think fondly of, that 2018 Braves team. You got other guys out there, like Max Fried was just starting up.
That's right.
Toussaint was still throwing.
Yeah, Tukey,
Really
yep.
messed with him. Whistler. I think Brock was on that team too.
Yeah, Brad
Whole
Brock.
bunch of guys. Man, that was
Yeah.
such a fun team. Just looking. And another guy who is not like, high on the list because he didn't play much, Culberson.
Utility guy.
Duda was there. Just such a fun
Yeah.
squad. I can only imagine what it was like actually playing with the guys.
Dude, it was fun. The fun, most fun part about it is I remember spring training, we got picked fourth, projected fourth. And
In
we're
the
like,
East?
yeah, some.
Wow.
And I was like, man, I think we're going to be good, better than that. And then there was like just so much belief in that clubhouse to that we were going to win it and be good. It was so much, like you said, it was so much fun to be a part of that team.
Obviously, it manifested. I think, what was it, 92 wins? Somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, I think we were projected 72 or like
Whew.
six,
Yeah,
yeah,
because the
something
year
like that.
before was rough, if I remember properly. I think that
It
was like a
was.
70-win year.
Yeah, we 15 was really rough, 16 was really rough, and then 17 we got better. I think we finished strong because Ozzie debuted at the end, Dansby
Yes.
debuted, so we had like a pretty good core debut at the end of 17.
And then Ronnie came up in 18 and it just built from there.
Yep.
Obviously leading up to the World Series in 21.
Yeah.
All
Pretty smart.
righty. That's gonna do it here. Any final words?
I appreciate you having me on. Thanks for letting me reminisce. It's always good to do this.
Absolutely. All righty, everybody. That's gonna do it here. Episode 61 of the Playoff Push Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and have a great rest of your day.